This is an extract from the Nature podcast. For the full show, head to nature.com/nature/podcast.
The popularity of the science fiction genre, which really took off in the 19th and early 20th century, shows no sign of abating. In the cinemas this year, we've had Alien Covenant, Blade Runner 2049, and The Last Jedi. Star Trek is back on TV again. The world of real science increasingly seems just as wondrous, with new discoveries, global climate changes, and societal shifts as a result of scientific developments and ubiquitous technology. A series of essays in the books and arts section this week asks, is science fiction still relevant in an increasingly surreal world? To find out, I spoke to two science fiction writers, both former scientists, who contributed essays to this week's issue. The first is Hannu Rajaniemi, who has a PhD in mathematical physics and is best known for his 2010 novel, The Quantum Thief. I started off by asking him how he came to be interested in both science and science fiction.
My interest in science was actually sparked by Jules Verne when I was 7 years old, because I kind of wanted to build a submarine or a vehicle or a spaceship of some kind. I think it certainly informed the writing to the extent that I do sort of have access to quite a broad range of weird ideas from physics. What's sort of interesting is that in my career, the feedback loop has sort of gone both ways. So my previous company did quite a bit of research work for the UK MOD, and one of our major research projects was actually sparked off by the program director reading The Quantum Thief and picking up on some ideas there.
And do you think that's common, that scientists are inspired by things in science fiction and it's sort of a feedback loop of each pushing the other forward?
I think that's right. So probably the most famous example is the atomic bomb. So H.G. Wells wrote a book called The World Set Free, which features a sort of a suitcase-sized device with enough explosive power to destroy an entire city that can be dropped from an airplane. And he actually calls it the atomic bomb. What science fiction is very good at is creating these images that give everybody sort of a common understanding of what we could aspire towards, or in the case of dystopian science fiction, try to stay away from.
Technological change is happening so fast all around us, not just within science fiction, and that was something that was sort of mentioned in the essays. What is science fiction's role anymore in this world where technology seems to be almost more fabulous and dreamlike?
I think science fiction in a world like that, where things are changing faster and faster, is absolutely essential, because I think it is the only form of literature or fiction that really deals with the possibility of the world changing. So I think really immersing ourselves into the idea that the way things are today is not necessarily the way things are tomorrow is absolutely crucial. So I think as things move faster and faster, science fiction can sort of serve as a kind of prophylactic against a sort of future shock, that sense of being overwhelmed.
Thank you, Hannu Rajaniemi. The second author I spoke with was Alistair Reynolds, who worked for the European Space Agency before he decided to pursue writing full-time, and who has since published several novels and short stories, including the Revelation Space series. Alistair has a slightly different take on the place of science fiction in our rapidly advancing and increasingly sci-fi-like world.
Well, I always take slight issue with that premise that we are living in a time of unusually rapid development. I always think that smacks to me a little bit of assuming you have a privileged viewpoint. You know, just looking through the inventions and discoveries that had sort of happened between about 1900 and 1917, it seemed to me that you know, the world was changing at just as breathless a pace then as it is now. And I wonder if that's perhaps why science fiction as a sort of mass cultural phenomenon emerged in the sort of early decades of the 20th century, precisely because of that challenge of meeting that sense of ever increasing social and technological change.
And trying to be prescient and have these like possible ideas about the future, is that kind of the point of sci-fi? Is that why you think people enjoy it?
There are a number of lucky hits where science fiction predicted things that came true, but there are probably vastly more misses where science fiction failed to predict what seems in retrospect to be the blindingly obvious. A classic example is very little science fiction literature written before the 80s came anywhere close to predicting the internet and instant communication as well. Very few science fiction books predicted anything like the cell phone.
And do you worry about having a too much of an optimistic view of a technology or too much of a pessimistic dystopian view of a technology?
I'm trying to build futures that feel real enough to me to suspend my disbelief for the time that I'm writing them. And whatever future you're living in, it's probably not going to feel like a dystopia, and it's probably not going to feel like a utopia. There are many aspects of life in 2017 that would feel both utopian and dystopian to someone from 100 years ago. They would be amazed by some of the capabilities we have. But at the same time, would say, well, you've got all that, and yet you're sort of willfully messing up the environment, you're destroying your climate, and you're living with this specter of nuclear Armageddon. And for us, that's just the way the world is.
That was Alistair Reynolds talking with Sharmini Bandel. Before him, you heard from Hannu Rayanyemi. Their essays, along with several others, can be found in the Books and Arts section of this week's Nature. Hannu has a book called Summerland coming out in 2018, and Alistair's new book, Elysium Fire, is due out in January.